Happy Thanksgiving week, everyone. It is officially my favorite week of the year, which shouldn't be quite a surprise considering you're listening to a food podcast. I am in charge of the mac and cheese and cornbread, so that will be my focus this week. And my other focus is introducing you to my lovely conversation. You may recognize this creator named at SpendPennies on Instagram with over 356,000 followers. She focuses on easy dinner recipes for real life, simple ingredients that are mostly recipes from scratch, and she just came out with a cookbook. So we got into all of the fun details on how she started with her blog and then how she ended up with a new cookbook that her followers are really, really excited about. So please join me in welcoming my lovely conversation with Holly Nielsen. Living for Food Pod. If I'm a little tired today, I'm very sorry. I was up late writing last night. So if my words get a little jumbled, that's the reason. But it's so great to meet you. I'm really excited to have you on.
I'm super excited to be here.
So you're in Canada, right?
I
Vancouver.
am. I'm on West Coast, just outside of Vancouver, really close to Seattle, a couple hours from Seattle.
Oh, cool. I've never been to Canada, which feels weird as to say as a travel journalist most of the time, but I would love to visit some of the national parks up there and then go into Seattle and stuff because I've never gone over there at all.
Yeah, BC in particular is really beautiful. Where I live, the temperatures or the climate is very similar to Seattle. So lots of rain, which means lots of green, lush, so it's really quite beautiful. You can see the
I bet.
mountains and you've got the ocean and a little of everything here.
Yeah, that's how kind of California is too, but it doesn't rain all the time. So it is hot though, so I am sweating a lot. But honestly, when I think of Seattle, I think of Grey's Anatomy, so probably most people do. But I've gotten out of that phase, don't worry.
They also have a great market, the Pike's Place Market.
Oh, really? In Seattle?
So, yeah, it's amazing and it's lots of fun. There's tons to see, lots of food vendors. They've got the fish market where they throw the fish around. It's really fun. I caught one last year. So, from someone throwing it, I didn't actually catch a fish. Someone threw it to me.
Yeah, just like putting your hand in, catching it yourself. Now I'm even more shocked I haven't been there. So that's now on my bucket list. So let's start about chatting about your life before the kitchen. I was looking a little bit at your website, but I wasn't able to find too much about your family background. So I'd like to get into it a little bit. Growing up, you sat down for family dinner almost every night. Why do those memories in particular kind of stand out to you?
I feel like they really bonded us as a family. So I have two sisters, my mom and dad, and even to this day, we're super close. My mom made family dinner every night.
Oh.
And, we would kind of like sit around the table and talk about our day. And, my dad's he's kind of a funny guy. So he would always like poke at us like dads do. He would
I
always
do.
like playful banter. And, it just was a time where everybody was kind of expected to be there. My sister and I would set the table. My mom would be making dinner, and life is busy, so it's just a time for families to reconnect. I really loved that time in our lives. And when I think back to family, like when I was young, those are some of the things I remember the most, is just sitting at dinner with my family and my sisters.
I feel like you have the best jokes and you come up with the best jokes when you're sitting around at family dinners too, or it's a lot of reminiscing too, just about like funny things that have happened in the past. 'Cause I feel like my family dinners, we always just end up either yelling at each other or cracking up. So it's like never an in between, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, it was they're just some of my favorite memories. And now that I'm older and I've raised my own family, you know, I really realized like what my mom was putting into those meals, and she mostly cooked from scratch. It was the 80s, so we did have, you know, boxed scalloped potatoes and shake and bake and all the 80s convenience foods. But yeah, so I just, now that I'm older, I really realize like how much love my mom put into those meals and kind of why she did it, and you know, how much it really like did bring us all together as a family. Mm-hmm.
Did you cook at all as a teen or a young adult? Were you helping her cook or?
I didn't cook a lot. I did more like back then, more baking, you know, cookies or pancakes or things like that. You know, I did help my mom in the kitchen. It was more, you know, she would sort of make dinner and then my sisters and I would set the table and then do dishes, which was the worst.
But, always is.
Yeah. So we would make these big elaborate meals. So we would, you know, and of course we never just did it. We like would goof around and it would take us forever. But so I didn't help her cook a ton. I did cook with my grandma more, and she didn't live in the same city as us, but that was more as an older teen that I cooked with my grandma, and she was Polish. So, you know, we would do things like her Christmas cookies were amazing, her shortbread, things like pierogi and rouladen and those types of dishes. And they just, you know, and when we were eating with my grandma, it was a lot more than just like our immediate family. We had, I think there was like 25 of us or more, know, and so, you know, when I like smell those foods to this day, I still think back to sort of learning those dishes from my grandma and my mom.
Are those recipes that you make now for your kids?
Yeah, they are. The rouladen I make for my family. I also actually make it, and just, it's a great dish that freezes. So I make it ahead and then I can just like heat up a few for my husband and I. We're empty nesters now. So I really love the opportunities I have to, when my kids come for dinner and, you know, to make those big sort of Sunday supper type meals. Yeah. And for people who haven't had rouladen before, it's a German dish. My grandma was Polish. And so it's like really thin beef topped with bacon and mustard and onion, and then a dill pickle, and you roll it up, and the acidity from the dill pickle like makes the meat tender. You slow cook it. So it's kind of like a roll with a dill pickle in the middle. Okay. We do like a mushroom gravy over top. It's got a little bit of pickle juice. It's so good. It's like the ultimate comfort food.
I'm going to say something a little controversial. I do not like pickles. I am not a pickle gal. I've never been. I don't know what it is, because I love cucumbers and stuff, but I think just like maybe the acidity of it or something, I just never got into it. But maybe if it's like rolled into a delicious dish, maybe I'll like it better.
Even if you don't eat the pickle juice just adds a little something to the gravy, and the acidity like makes the beef so, it's like you can cut it with a fork. It's so tender. Mm-hmm. Also, I will sit next to you because I will eat.
That's what I normally do. I just give it to my friends. Last night I was at this event and they had a bunch of appetizers, but fried pickles for some reason just kept coming around. So I kept grabbing them and giving them to my friend. I think she had like five of those little things. How old are your kids now? Are they college age or?
So my oldest is 32. Oh, okay. I always have to think about their birthdays. 32. My son is 28. My other daughter's 27 and then 20.
Okay.
I also have a grandson that's 4.
Congratulations.
Almost 4. Before in January, I have a granddaughter that's 3 months and another grandchild on the way.
Oh, so, how does it feel to be a grandma? Is it different? Do you want to spoil them?
Oh my gosh, it's the best. It's the best. Like, people always say, oh, your kids grow up and it goes so fast. And then one day you're like, oh my gosh, it did. It went so fast. And then people always say, being a grandma is literally the best. And when my grandson was about 6 months old, I phoned my mom and I was like, Mom, I get it.
Yeah.
Being a grandma is the best. You get all the good parts. You don't have to worry about the doctor's appointments and the schools and all of that. You just get all the fun stuff.
Right. I mean, I can't speak to the parental experience, but I'm assuming that it's fun to really hang out with them and then give them back afterwards.
Totally it is, yeah.
So you were originally trained in biological technology work in a research lab, which is a very contrasting career path, I feel. But I also kind of was thinking maybe there's some similarities to the culinary field. So was the transition into the culinary world easy for you? What was the...
Well, I did school for biological technology. So it's a lot of lab work, you know, a lot of precision, that type of thing. When I started the blog, I actually didn't start out with food. It was during the era of extreme couponing. So I started out helping people save money on everything from diapers to dishwashers. You know, then I started sharing the odd recipe and people really liked them. And it was very quickly that I realized that's where my passion was helping these busy families to get food on the table. When I realized that people were making these recipes in their homes for their families with their grocery money, and having come from the background, well, I was also a single mom prior to starting the blog as well. So I know what having tight finances is like. And it was really, really important for me to ensure that the recipes were well tested, that they would work, that they could be recreated in any kitchen with, you know, any like types of tools. You didn't need any special pans or this or that, you know. And so I did educate myself. I took, you know, classes at our local culinary school. I did culinary boot camps. I started adding cooking classes to travel, just reading, absorbing as much as I can. And I do think like the precision and like recording things in the science lab and, you know, making sure that you're like recording every step correctly, you know, and I do think some of that translates. Then the beauty of cooking is it's a lot more creative, which speaks to me.
No, it is. That's what I was thinking too, maybe the precision and the science kind of behind everything. I am interested because, like, for me, I feel like I can barely cook for myself sometimes. So I give you a lot of credit for cooking for three kids and yourself as a single mom at the time, because everything is so expensive now that I can only imagine, like, before, and then having to add three children on top of that is just must have been very beyond stressful.
Yeah, you know, and I think the beauty of that and sort of the background where I came from, that's where I really learned to take those humble ingredients, because we, back then it was like oranges and apples. Mm-hmm. We maybe once a year or twice a year would get something fancy like strawberries, you know, those just weren't in the budget. Right. And so cooking with the ingredients that we could afford, things like potatoes and carrots and celery, which really are the basis of so many dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really where I learned to take those humble ingredients and turn them into beautiful meals. Because even when my kids were younger, we did eat dinner as a family, because that's something I grew up with and it's something I wanted to instill in my kids. And so I really do appreciate those times in my life for many reasons, but that's one of them, is that's where I really learned to like stretch ingredients and how to season them and just make them delicious.
Right. I feel like all you need is a few seasonings and like pretty much the basics, and anything is going to taste good. It's really the seasoning that's key. If you try to get, you don't even need fresh, like if you just get dried oregano or dried rosemary or whatever it is, like it'll instantly transform it.
Absolutely. And salt.
Oh, obviously salt and pepper. Yeah. Duh. How was I not thinking of those first? We're in a time, I feel like, too, where a lot of households have to penny pinch. Have you seen your page in particular these past few years blossom because of that?
I wouldn't necessarily say it has, because I've been very true to my cooking style, like right from the beginning. It's the way I've always cooked. And the ingredients I tend to use are the things that we all have on hand most of the time. So they are the basics. It's just sort of transforming them. All of my recipes really focus on not only using ingredients that you have, but also both in my cookbook as well as on the site, I try to give as many variations as possible, so that you're not, I mean, I don't, most of us, I think, are like, oh my gosh, it's 4:30. Mm-hmm. what am I going to do for dinner? What do I have? You know, and so.
Story of my life.
Exactly. So it's, you know, having those variations and knowing you can accomplish the dish with whatever you have, like, hey, this is best, but if this is all you have, it can work too.
Right.
You know, and so I think the fact that my cooking style and my site have always sort of stayed to the basics, I feel like, you know, my readers know that that's what they can expect.
Mm-hmm. What are your go-to grocery stores? I'm not really familiar with like what the basic stores would be in Canada versus like here, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming like Trader Joe's or like something like that.
Yeah, we don't have Trader Joe's here, but yes. I actually live so close to the border that I can either go to Costco or Trader Joe's or Fred Meyer in less than 30
minutes. Yeah, but do you have to like show someone your ID every time you cross the border? How does it work?
Yeah, I do have to go through the border, but it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
But here we have Superstore, Save On Foods, you know, and it's all the same. I mean, when you're buying the basics, it's all, you know, it's all the same, especially we've got produce, the meats. I focus a lot on that. Most of the recipes I make are from scratch or, you know, from scratch-ish.
Yeah.
So I do use things like cream of mushroom soup on occasion, but not very often, you know. And so, but things like canned tomatoes, pasta sauce, those types of things, they're sort of things you can get anywhere regardless of where you live.
Right, right. Because in my head, I'm thinking like, Trader Joe's branded stuff like the snacks and stuff, but in a lot of ways those are a luxury. I mean, they can be pretty expensive and they're not necessities most of the time.
I mean, I do love Trader Joe's. They have such fun
I do
stuff.
I'm throwing a little Halloween like girls kind of night like I do every single year, and I go so far out on it. I spend too much money at Trader Joe's. But I was there yesterday and they have these little ghosts that are potato chips, and they're literally shaped like the cutest ghosts, and I was instantly passed them and I immediately added them. I was like, I need to get out of here.
Sounds like I need to make a quick trip.
You do. They have so many good pumpkin things still. I kind of missed some of that train. I should have bought it earlier because now they're implementing their other holiday stuff already. Thanksgiving and all that stuff is coming up.
Yeah, I love to get there about every, like, maybe once a month, stock up on what's good, what's fun, if I can.
Let's talk about your cookbook now that you mentioned it, which came out on September 3rd. I was looking through your Instagram, and, you know, you got a little emotional, as anyone would, when opening your first, like, hot-off-the-press copy, which is so exciting. What does your debut cookbook mean to you? How has the response been? What was the process like?
Oh my gosh. The cookbook was absolutely a labor of love. So my readers have been asking for a cookbook forever, and I wanted to create a cookbook, but I had a very specific vision in mind when I was creating the cookbook, and not just like a visual vision, like what the book would mean to people, how it would be used, what would be the purpose of the book. And, you know, I wanted it to be something where people were like, I have to leave this on the counter because every time I put it away, I have to go grab it immediately. And so, you know, following along with a lot of the things on the site that I knew people appreciated, I wanted to ensure that the book included all of those things. So lots of variations, ingredient swaps, prep ahead, and then as well using the ingredients that you have on hand, and just making sure the recipes were extremely well tested and really accessible. So the book was 3 years from concept to the day it launched. And so it was 3 years in the making. We tested the recipes over 1,000 times with these huge binders.
I believe it.
Every variation I suggest, we've tested it. You know, every option I give for toppings, every option I give for swapping one protein for the other, everything has been, you know, really well tested. And to see it to come together and to hold it for the first time, the part you can't quite see in that video is my entire family was there. My mom, my dad, my kids, my grandkids. And so they're all like standing on the other side of the camera. And so it was a very emotional moment because my heart and soul, I poured everything I had into that video, or into that, sorry, into that book. I'm thinking of the video. I poured my heart and soul into the book, and just to tangibly be able to hold it was amazing.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's because I am so online all the time. I've still yet to have an article in print because it just like is so non-existent anymore. But I feel like it's just so different when you actually get to hold something in your hand that you've worked so hard on versus like typing away and submitting it and typing away and submitting it. And I'm sure you're looking at it 4,000 times to edit every single word. Are there any recipe variations that you just tried and tried and tried and tried, but didn't work out, didn't make the cut?
Yeah, there was a few recipes that didn't make the cut in the book that I just couldn't like get. One was I wanted to do a pizza soup. So think like French onion soup, but like pizza flavor. And then like with the bread on top and then like bubbly mozzarella cheese parm. Like, doesn't that sound amazing?
It does, but I feel like you have to execute it really well, you know?
I couldn't.
Okay.
I tried it like 10 times and then I was like, this is not going to fly. So I tried to be like with some of the cookbook recipes, I was really like thinking of flavors I love sort of in a new way in some of them. So like one of the recipes in the book, my mom is obsessed with my chicken pot pie.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, she's asked for it as her Mother's Day gift for a few years. So I'll make her a couple of treats.
Hey, that's an easy gift. Well, kind of actually. It's a labor of love.
Yeah. Chicken pot pie. But I took those same flavors that, you know, that we know and love. Mm. And I did chicken pot pie stuffed shells with a herb topping.
Oh.
You know, so it was, the cookbook was really fun because I was able to sort of make sure that I was still touching on those nostalgic flavors and the dishes that we know and love, but then in a new way. And that was really fun for me.
I'm sure.
The pizza soup was one that didn't work out for me. And then there was another one I was doing, and it actually sort of evolved into another recipe, but I was doing kind of like a sweet potato hash.
Oh yeah. Okay.
With crispy chicken thighs, and it was a sheet pan dinner.
Yeah.
I think that was one of our most tested recipes. I think we made it out. I think it ended up being about 14 times.
Oh, wow.
I just felt like depending on the chicken thighs, where you got them, they were watery and it just wasn't hitting. It ended up turning into a breakfast for dinner, chorizo, sweet potato hash with eggs on it. And it's all done on a sheet pan and it is so delicious. It ended up being exactly what it was supposed to be. I just didn't know that's what it was supposed to be.
Right, right. You had to do trial and error to get there.
Exactly.
I feel like if I'm trying a food for 14 times, though, I don't even know what it tastes like anymore. Like, I'm just like, I don't know if this tastes good. Like, I wouldn't be able to differentiate, I guess, like what tastes good at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we would do sometimes maybe two or three iterations a day. But the great thing about doing it that way is like, we're like, okay, this one is, you know, it's like lacking in seasoning and the texture is off. So let's do this. And then because we had just made it like an hour prior, we could easily compare.
Right. Okay.
You know, being like, okay, yeah, it's a little bit better, but now we're like, you know, I feel like the seasoning needs to be a little bit bolder. So let's do it again.
Okay.
And then we could compare, or like, let's change the protein. No, it was much better the first time with that other one that we just had an hour ago. So, you know, having them like, and it was kind of like baby steps as we're making the recipe, like baby steps for each tweak, just to make sure the one item we were changing was actually making a difference.
Okay. That totally makes sense. When you were talking, the back of my mind was envisioning the pizza soup, and I see it happening. I see the vision. If you do like a tomato kind of soup kind of deal and then do the baked like cheese over it, I see it.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, okay, pizza, supreme pizza. So you got like Italian sausage and mushroom and green pepper and onion, like, yum. It's so good.
Yes. And then you could like dip bread into it.
I know it sounds so I will make it happen.
Yeah, you have to now that we talked about it at length. You have to. So a lot of these are, because you've been doing this for like about a decade now, are a lot of these recipes a lot of trial and error from that you cooked up yourself? Are they family recipes? Are they a mix of both?
It's a combination of both. And you know, I think like once you sort of, you know, if you think about, for example, if you were going to do a casserole with pasta, you're generally going to have either a cream sauce or a tomato sauce, a certain ratio of cheese, a certain ratio of protein add in. So once you've sort of built the basis, future recipes are sort of, they all sort of follow a similar formula, you know, and cooking is not like baking. you know, cooking is more of an art than a science. Yes. And so you can certainly like play around with different seasonings, different add-ins, change it up, different types of pasta, that type of thing.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
But yeah, and then I've got a lot of like family recipes. A lot of my mom's recipes are in the cookbook.
Oh, cute. Was she excited when she saw them?
Yeah, and it was really fun to like, even just 2 nights ago, my mom's like, oh, you know, my recipes are her recipes, but then they're, you know, I maybe tweaked them a little bit just to make sure that everybody could replicate them the exact same way. And so she made one the other day and she sent me a photo. She's like, I made it exactly from your recipe. So my mom's recipe making my recipe.
Wait, that's so satisfying, I feel like.
The best.
With the holidays coming up, are you in charge?
Yeah, I do host most of the holidays. My daughter has started hosting Easter, which is lovely. She's amazing at it. So it's really fun to sort of, you know, see the torch being passed on. And we usually do potluck style as well. So when we do dinner, you know, everybody brings something. So my daughter does the meal at her house, like for Easter now. I bring the ham and she does everything else.
Is it nice fun to like pass the baton?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, it's so fun.
I feel like my mom would have a heart attack.
Yeah, I do love hosting, but it's really fun to sort of see her take on that role and I don't know, experience it on the other side and watch her blossom in her own kitchen and create all this beautiful meal and set her own table the way she does. And it's awesome.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I actually would love to do that. My family is very, very tradition. So when things change, like it's not like the best for them. So,
yeah.
But I feel like they would trust me to host because I'm so like into food and all of that. And it's like my job. And I also am a little like OCD in the fact that I'm going to make it look good. So I think they'll appreciate that when the time comes. But it'll take some convincing, I think. I've been trying to like get them out to LA maybe at some point because I've only lived here for a year, so I can't convince them.
Okay.
But maybe eventually in the future they'll come here, but it'll take a lot of convincing. I don't know if it'll ever happen.
Yeah, I mean, she does carry on some of the traditions that we've, you know, built in our family. And I think it's really fun for me to see her carry on those traditions, but then also put her own spin on it as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Does she use your cookbook?
She does. Yep. So she makes my scalloped potatoes. Actually, she, my oldest daughter works with me as well.
Oh.
And so she worked on the cookbook with me the whole way. Yeah. So she cooks a lot of the cookbook recipes, but she also, she does make my scalloped potatoes for Easter, which is fun. I know she always makes the dinner rolls from Sally's Baking Addiction, which are the best.
Oh, I love Sally's Baking Addiction.
Oh, so good. And I love Sally. She's amazing. But the bun from Sally's Baking Addiction, the dinner rolls, they're super soft and fluffy and amazing.
Oh, yeah. With your daughter working with you, has that brought you guys closer as you guys did the entire cookbook? Because I'm sure you guys were in and out every single day.
Yeah. I mean, my sister works with me as well. Oh. And we've got a team in the studio as well, you know, they're family to me as well. So, you know, we're all really close and we work in close quarters and we just seem to like balance each other really well. My oldest daughter is a chemical engineer by trade.
Oh.
So she's really like analytical. Whereas I'm like quite a creative, she's really builds processes and structure and, you know, so it's a really good balance for me to work with. And my sister is the same. She's, you know, she's an accountant, CPA, you know, working with that type of personality, it balances me really well. But I'm really close with all of my kids. I see them all the time. We spend a ton of time together and it's just really easy to be together. So it's been really fun working with her.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I feel like too, when you work with family, they can give you the brutal honesty that maybe other people you're working with won't necessarily give you, which is a good and bad thing. Yeah. I get the brutal honesty and I give it also. So
it's definitely something I hope that my team feels like as well. I'm like, please tell me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think And I think also just because we're so close and work together so closely that they are just like family to me anyways. So
that's so sweet. Yeah, you have to work with a team that you can trust, because otherwise you might not be happy with the end result, you know, like it could be out of your hands sometimes. Is there a dream collab that you'd love to do one day? Maybe like a television personality, a chef, a content creator, anyone that comes to mind? I don't know, like, what's popular in Canada? Like, is it, I know you guys have Netflix and stuff, so I'm sure like Great British Baking Show is like
a thing. Yeah. I mean, we watch all your TV. We have our TV and then your TV, right? Okay. So we have like The Bachelor, and then we have The Bachelor Canada. So we get double.
Oh my gosh, you didn't know there was a Bachelor Canada.
Yeah. So we get like Bachelor and Bachelor Canada, Bachelorette and Bachelorette Canada. So we get double. We get twice as much.
How did I not know
that? But we watch all your TV. We watch all your Food Network.
Okay. That's what I was going to say, is Food Network there, because I wasn't sure. Okay. So who would be your dream collab then, if someone came to
mind? My dream collab. Oh my gosh. I've never really thought of this.
It's a stumping question sometimes.
Well, I actually went recently to a fundraiser where I met a lot of people from Food Network. Okay. And I guess my Tiffany Faison and Antonia LaFaso were both there. They're both just great people I admire so much. And I would love to do something, you know, with them. And, you know, one thing I really, really loved was in the blogging world, the people who are, I would say, like, would be perceived as our competitors.
Yeah.
are truly, truly our best friends. Mm-hmm. And, it was really fun to see when I went into and met so many of these people from the Food Network, to see how much they truly care about one another in the same fashion. And it was the same dynamic that we see within our industry. And mm-hmm. just seeing that, I felt like I just wanted to be a part of that, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh yeah.
I watch a lot of Food Network. So I really admire a lot of the chefs, you know, who are able to just go out there and how they support one another. And it's actually was amazing to see.
It really is. No, you're right on the money with that, because I've gone to a lot of demos, a lot of like food festivals and things like that. And the whole food world in general is just very low drama. Everyone is just so passionate about what they're doing. And then the camaraderie that all of the Food Network people have with each other, they're just all like good friends. And they all hang out all the time. It's like so inspiring.
They are. And when you see it in real life, you're like, oh, this is real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you could see it. They just like love each other.
They really do. And they're always just smiling ear to ear. They're like just happy to be there and be a part of it. And it's just like makes everyone want to be a part of it too. That's definitely why they're just so successful in their own right. But yeah, Tiffany and Antonio too are great ones for sure.
They really are. And you know, I think it's just, their styles are just a little, they're just real. And I really gravitate towards things that are like real or doable, or I feel like there's so much, not just on Food Network, but like there's so much on social, it just feels like unattainable. And sort of, so I really tend to gravitate towards things that are just real.
No, I definitely do too. You can tell when they're genuine. Some of my favorite people I've talked to, Cardia Brown is like one of the sweetest people on the planet. Tyler Florence, I only talked to him briefly, but like he was so mm-hmm. sweet. Like it's just like Katie Lee Beagle, like all of these people, they're just like the sweetest people on the planet. So I could talk about them forever, I feel like, but maybe one day I'll get on Food Network and then it'll be, and then I'll do it professionally. What is your go-to without fail dinner recipe that you make when you just don't feel like cooking, but you obviously need to?
Egg roll in a bowl, no question.
Whoa.
That's like the easiest.
I thought that would stump you for a second because you have so many recipes.
It is like, it's on the table in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just like a no-brainer. I do ground meat, so ground turkey, ground chicken, ground pork, whatever you have. Ginger, garlic. I do a bag of coleslaw mix. If I don't have that, then I do like cauliflower rice or, you know, it's like, and then whatever veggies I have, chop them up really fine, throw in some bean sprout, whatever you've got, little soy sauce, little sesame oil, And it's so delicious. Everyone loves it.
That sounds so good. I need to
it's
do
so
that.
Easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
No, I need to do that because I mean, I always just have like leftover veggies that I don't know how to do with. I'm going to do that. Now I'm thinking about what I'm going to make. All right. So let's talk about what's next for you. Aside from your cookbook that just came out, do you have any other upcoming projects? Maybe a book tour at some point? Anything else you'd like to share that you have going on?
In a couple of weeks, I'm headed to Portland. Really excited. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a couple of segments on some of the local TV there. Mm-hmm. And then that evening, which will be October, I want to say the 25th, mm-hmm. I'll be doing a book signing at Powell's Books. And those are the events I really look forward to the most. It's a meet and greet. So just a chance to meet the people on the other side of the camera and the other side of Instagram, you know, and chat about food and what it means to them and the recipes they've been loving. And those are the things that I really look forward to the most. So, you know, and hopefully over the coming months, as I'm traveling to different locations, my goal is to set up different signing events so that I can meet, you know, meet the readers who make the recipes and, you know, who allow me to do what I love to do and share in my love for food. So that's one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. And then as for other things coming up, we are currently just working on Thanksgiving, working on the very tail end of our fall content and planning for the new year. So we're going to be really leaning into recipes that have fewer ingredients, recipes that are a little quicker to make. You know, and in the cookbook, I talk a little bit, I have a section on several of the recipes where it's like, hey, it's okay to sort of give yourself a permission slip to like do a little bit less right now. And so we're going to be focusing on some of the recipes that entail that. But like, it's totally okay, instead of chopping your own cabbage, to grab a bag of coleslaw mix or to use frozen stir fry veggies. Like, if you don't have time to make a sauce from scratch, it's okay to use a can of mushroom soup if that's what works for you. So we're going to be leaning into those types of recipes because I feel like although technology keeps making our life easier, we're just running out of time, you know? And so, you know, I'm really excited to sort of bringing more of those recipes coming in the new year.
Oh, I'm sure. And I've cut both cauliflower and cabbage, and it is a pain in the neck. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm like, it also makes a giant mess in the kitchen. I don't know. I'm probably doing it wrong. I don't even know. But
no, cauliflower and broccoli, I don't know. I love them, but they get everywhere.
Yeah, it's like the little whatever flower leaf or whatever. It gets everywhere. I don't have the patience to do that anymore. I just get the bag of Trader Joe's. It all comes back to Trader Joe's. I have a short game for you, if you're up for it, that I do with every guest. It's like a little lightning round, and then I'm going to name some foods, and then like I come changing it up, like foods and dinner etiquette trends that I was thinking about, and you're going to tell me if you're for or against them, if that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, cool. These just came to my brain early this morning, so they're kind of all over the place.
Let's do it.
All right. The first one, putting your elbows on the table.
Against.
Really? I do it.
I'm a little old school.
No, it's fair. It is a little bit rude, but I just do it without realizing it because I'm speaking or something, so I don't really notice that I'm doing it. And then when I do notice I'm doing it, I do take them off. So I get it.
Okay. So I'll change my answer. Okay. During a meal, not okay. After dinner, like having a coffee or just hanging out, I can live with that.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. All right. Second one, one pan pasta recipes where you bake the pasta and then all the other ingredients at the same time and like put it in the oven.
100% for it.
Okay. I am a little bit against it because I feel like you have to boil the pasta first.
No, I think you just need more liquid. I mean, you have to like account for that the pasta is going to thicken the sauce a little. Okay. Everything gets kind of starchy.
I see your point. I think it's just the Italian me that's like, you have to boil your pasta. Otherwise, everything's going to be ruined.
I respect that.
Yeah. All right. Third one, a classic, ranch dressing.
Yes, but only homemade.
I can't do the...
The one in my cookbook, I make it every week. I could literally drink it. It's so really? Good.
Oh, I'm sure it's so much better than that because they put so much chemicals and stuff in that.
It's so good.
And it's easy. Ingredient. I got to look that up. I got to look up your recipe.
Well, it's really easy. Mostly yogurt. It's a yogurt ranch. Mm-hmm. So mostly yogurt, a little mayo, onion powder, garlic powder, dill, parsley, salt, pepper.
Oh.
And I think maybe chives.
Wait, that's so easy. I don't know why I've always been intimidated by that.
It's so good. It will change your life.
Okay. Yeah, I'm totally doing that because I used to not have do dressings at all because I was super, super picky. So it took me a while to even eat a Caesar salad with Caesar dressing, which is wild because sometimes it has anchovies in it. So that doesn't really make sense. Now I'm fine with it. So now I can actually make dips and not freak out over nothing.
Homemade ranch will change your life.
Okay. I believe you. Fourth one, waiting until everyone has their food before you start eating.
I would say this can depend. It can depend on the setting. If I'm out for dinner with my family, eat it while it's warm. I've put a lot of time into that. Mm-hmm. Eat it while it's warm. If you're out for, let's say, a business dinner, the etiquette could be a little bit different.
Yeah.
I would wait.
No, I totally agree with that. If you're already comfortable with the people, it doesn't really matter as much because if it gets cold and I've spent 3 hours, you're going to eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Fifth one. So a singer, actually her name's Dua Lipa, recently put, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this, but she put pickle juice and jalapeno juice or sauce in her Diet Coke.
That would be a hard no for me.
Okay. Me too. Gordon Ramsay tried it. And then of course, in all his dramatic glory, he spit it out and was like, this is horrible. But I think that sounds like my worst nightmare, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
Agreed. All right. My final question for you that I also do with every single guest is if there is one cooking utensil or appliance that you think everyone should splurge on, what would it be and why?
100% without question, an air fryer.
Oh, see, those had their time, but do you still think they're good to have?
I use it every day, every single day.
Really?
Okay. Yep. So, last night I did Brussels sprouts in it. If you reheat pizza, it's better than the first day that you got it. It's so good for reheating. I cook every bit there. I cook every veggie in it. I do whole chicken. I do pork tenderloin. You just get such a nice crust. It's one tiny little basket to wash. It's so easy to maintain. 100% air fryer.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking to a girl who has a lot of dishes in her sink right now. So that will be done later, but I do.
Sorry in my life.
Yeah. No, literally it's I'm sure because you're making all these videos, you're constantly cleaning every 4 seconds.
Thankfully I have helpers too.
Okay, true. Do they clean while you cook, though, or do you wait until everything's done after?
Depends on the dish. We usually let them pile up a little bit and then do the dishes. My husband does the house dishes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's a give and take.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yep, and he doesn't allow any dishes to sit. I'm like, where's my spatula? I was losing that. He's like, it's in the dishwasher.
My father doesn't either. It's a running joke in my family. If I go to visit home, I'll literally put a water glass down that I just finished and plan to refill, and he will pick it up and clean it before I even look back.
This is me while I'm cooking.
Okay, fair. I am the kind that I will wait until it's all done, and then I'll be really upset after I eat that I forgot that I had to clean all of those. So... it's really on me. It's a habit I will probably never break. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on. I hope your first podcast experience was a good one. You did so well.
Well, that was fun. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So you can keep up with Holly on Instagram at SpendPennies, or you can snag her cookbook on Amazon, which I'll also add to my storefront under podcast guests named Spend with Pennies, Everyday Comfort, Family Dinner Recipes from Fresh to Cozy, which is out now.
Hey, fellow foodies. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget to leave me a review. While you're at it, make sure to follow me at Livin' for Food Pod on Instagram or TikTok, or email me at livinforfoodpod@gmail.com. Let me know what you're cooking up this week, which guests you would like to see on the podcast, or tell me your opinions on the latest viral food trend. And in case you're just joining me, there is an entirety of season 1 ready and waiting for you. Until next time.